I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would like to thank the leadership of the church for the opportunity that is once again given to me to stand here and to share God's word with you. If you have your Bible with you, I would like to invite you to open it with me in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 7, and we'll skip and read from verse 18 to verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 1 down to 7, and from 18 to 19. I read. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're here for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." Verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. This is the account of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most recurrent questions that we hear today, the midst of the troubles and the suffering that we are witnessing in the world, one of the most recurrent questions is, if God exists, if God is a powerful God, all-powerful and all-good, how can a good God and powerful God allow so much suffering? I'm sure some of us, many of us, have heard this question, and maybe you've asked yourself this question: if God is real, why am I experiencing what I'm experiencing now? Why is not coming to rescue me? Why is not putting an end to all this suffering? That question was asked by one of the men who was crucified with Jesus Christ. On his side, there was a man who asked him, "If you are the Son of God, if you are truly the Son of God, if you are so powerful, why don't you deliver us?" And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the Lord did not answer to this question. The Lord did not answer him. But the Lord answered the other one. The other one who told him, "When you will come back, please remember me." And the Lord told him, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Hallelujah. The Lord did not answer the first man who questioned his power, questioned his goodness. And today, this God has not changed. He hardly answers questions about him, questions, skeptical questions. God hardly answers those kind of questions. Why? Because God, just like Jesus was on the cross, Jesus knew what he was about to do. He knew what was going to happen in the next 3 days. He knew that God has set a time to put an end to the power of death and sin. He knew that he was on the course to put an end to the kingdom of darkness by conquering death. Hallelujah. So Jesus didn't mind answering that question because he knew what he was about to do. And maybe God is not going to answer your question. If you are wondering, who is God? How can a God allow things like this? He's probably not going to answer because he knows that there is a time for resurrection. Hallelujah. Jesus has fought a battle against death, and it is a war of attrition. You know, a war of attrition is a war in which you are fighting against your enemy, but you allow him to finish all his resources to the end, to the point that he's no longer able to fight anymore. So you are not preventing him from fighting against you. He's fighting, but you are slowly finishing, emptying all his resources. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He went into a battle against death, and he allowed death to temporarily have an advantage over him, to the point that death could no longer do anything to him. And then on the third day, he rose again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in many instances, this is what God is doing. The resurrection, that's the message for today. Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God, is risen from the dead. He is not dead, he is risen. That is the uniqueness of the Christian faith. The Lord that we serve is alive. In all other religions, the leader is dead and is not coming back. But our Lord is risen. Hallelujah. And we believe this is true. We believe this is true because those who witnessed his resurrection wrote about it. Hallelujah. To those who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, resurrection, as we have read this account in Matthew 28, we can see that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a frightening experience. It was a frightening experience for the guards who was charged to keep the tomb sealed and inaccessible. The Bible says that the earth quaked. Hallelujah. The guards, people who are trained to fight, they are trained not to be afraid. The Bible says they were afraid. Hallelujah. It was a frightening experience to them. And it was a frightening experience to those who condemned him, because they knew that if the news of the resurrection goes out, the situation that we have faced with Jesus will become worse. So they were afraid of the resurrection. But to the disciples of Jesus, it was an awesome experience. An experience of joy. And to those who hear it today, those who hear about the resurrection today, to those who hear that Jesus is risen, the resurrection may look like an old news. We hear it year after year. We celebrate Easter. Jesus is risen. Yes, but this is old news with no real consequences. But to those who believe, to those who don't only hear it, but to those who believe that Jesus is alive, this news has consequences. This is not just a news, but this is good news with real consequences. And we have consequences, they experience these consequences in their lives, because resurrection is not a sermon, it is power. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not information, it is power. Hallelujah. It is power, and I want to believe that those who call themselves Christians here or online, you have experienced or you are experiencing the power of resurrection in your life. So this morning, the message is Jesus is risen. And what does it mean? What's the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus for us? The resurrection of Jesus for us has at least five meanings that I want to present to the letters of the word risen. Jesus is risen. First of all, he's risen. It means that Jesus has the power to restore. Hallelujah. He has the power to restore, to bring back, to bring us back to God's initial plan and design for us. That plan and design was tarnished by sin. But the resurrection means that Jesus has the power to bring us back to what God has initially designed you and me to be and to live. One of the people who have experienced that resurrection is Peter. Peter worked with Jesus for 3 years before his crucifixion. And we know that Peter was a very zealous man, very courageous. He proclaimed his loyalty to Jesus. He was one of the first to acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah. But on the night before the crucifixion of Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus denied the Lord 3 times. Not once, 3 times. He denied him. But after the resurrection, when Peter encounters the risen Jesus, we read it in John chapter 21. You can read it at home. When Peter meets the risen Jesus, he experienced forgiveness, grace, mercy from the Lord. The Lord forgives him from his betrayal, and even entrust him the leadership of the church. The Lord restores him back to him. And he even tells him, feed my sheep. Hallelujah. That's one of the things that we experience through the power of resurrection. Because Jesus is risen, he is able to bring us back to our relationship with God. So it doesn't matter where you have fallen away. It doesn't matter where you have fallen into, what you have fallen into. The good news this morning is that Jesus has the power to restore, to bring you back to the relationship that God wants to have with you. Number two, the resurrection of Jesus means God has the power to eliminate us, to eliminate us, to change our perspective about life, to change our priorities, to open our eyes to the things that really matters. Because most of the times, and when we have not encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't see life through the right perspectives. We see life from our own perspective. We see ourselves the way the world sees us. But when we encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, everything about us, everything about how we see ourselves and the people around us and life, even the way we see life, everything changes. One of the people who have experienced this enlightenment is the Apostle Paul. When you read in Acts chapter 9, from 1 to 9, we see the encounter of Paul with the risen Jesus. Paul was a strong man at the time before his encounter with Jesus. What he says in Philippians chapter 3, he says this. Paul says, he used to be proud. He used to be a proud man, proud of his Jewish identity, proud of his citizenship, the fact that he belongs to the elected nation, the nation that has been elected by God. He used to be proud of his professional credentials. That's how he would see himself. He used to see himself as a person of high moral standards. He even says that he was a blameless man as regards to the law. This is Paul before meeting Jesus, a man centered on himself. He sees his life, he considers himself, he sees his value in what he has achieved, in who he is according to his society. And this is who we are, and this is how we see ourselves before we meet the risen Lord. But when he meets Jesus, listen to what he says in Galatians chapter 2. I want to read it. He says this in Galatians 2, verse 20. He says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. This is Paul saying, it's no longer I. My life is no longer about me. I no longer live. My life is worthless. What matters is Jesus. He even says in Philippians 3, this is what he says in verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless. Why? Because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Hallelujah. He even says that I count all of them as rubbish so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Hallelujah. When we encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, the way we see ourselves, the way we see life, the way we see our worth changes. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus means that the resurrection has the power not only to restore us, not only to eliminate us, but also the power to save us. To save us and to keep us saved. To save us from what? Not first to save us from poverty, but first to save us from sin and its power. To save us from death, which is the consequence, the wages of sin. That's the first deliverance that the power of resurrection perform in our lives. Have you experienced freedom from the power of sin? Or do you still live in bondage? The power of resurrection is also the power to enable us, to enable you and me to live and to perform things that we are not naturally born with. To enable us, to empower us, to perform the things that we are not naturally gifted for. And we see this in the lives of the disciple of Jesus. People who were shy, but after experiencing the risen Jesus, they will stand up in front of crowds and proclaim the good news with boldness. Hallelujah. I remember myself, I would never believe that I would one day stand in front of a crowd to preach the gospel, even to speak. I could have never imagined. Because I was the type of man, a young man, who even when it's time to praise the Lord in the church, I will be so shy, I will not even stand up. Just to pray, I'm in the crowd. I'll feel so shy even to stand up to sing. And I used to sit at the back, to make sure that even the camera will not notice. That's the kind of man I used to be. But when I encountered the Lord changed me. You would think that I was born, I had this predisposition to preach or to teach. Not at all. I know it is the power of the resurrection. Hallelujah. I know it. The resurrection gives us the power to do things that naturally we are not capable of. The resurrection will give you the power to release people who have hurt you. Forgive them. And not only to forgive them, and to love them. Because sometimes we hear a Christian say, I've forgiven him, but I can't shake his hand. The resurrection will give you the power to forgive and to shake his hand, to bless him with your words, with your resources. That's the power of resurrection. The resurrection will give us the power, will enable us to give even in the time of need. Hallelujah. To give even when we need. That's the power of resurrection. Why? Because it is no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives in me. The resurrection, finally, is the power to nullify. To nullify what? All the curses all their alliances, all the negative words, all the accusations, the claims from the kingdom of darkness of our lives. That's the power of resurrection. It comes to cancel every bondage. It doesn't matter the authority of your grand ancestors. It doesn't matter what they said about you. The power of resurrection frees us, because the Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 14, he has erased the charges that the devil brought against us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody who has experienced the power of resurrection and who wants to say, God, I thank you. I thank you that you rose from the dead and you have risen today. I thank you for the power of resurrection that is at work in my life. And if you have not experienced that, I want to invite you, because salvation is available today. Hallelujah. Can we stand up and pray? Father, we thank you that you rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Can you say some words to the Lord and thank him that he is risen? Just tell him, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you rose from the dead. I thank you for the power of resurrection over my life. I proclaim, I speak the power of resurrection over my life. I speak the power of resurrection over the life of my children, of my husband, of my wife. I speak the power of resurrection in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you because Jesus is alive. Jesus, we thank you that you are alive today. We thank you because you are not serving and living for a dead Lord. We are living for a Lord who is alive, a God who is risen, a man who is alive. We are going to meet him one day. Soon we will meet you. We will see you with our own eyes, as you said. The disciples saw you. They saw you with their own eyes, and we will see you. We will see you. We will see you. Some of us have already started to see you. And we will see you in this church in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are here. We thank you for the power of resurrection that is at work in this church and in the lives of the people who are watching and who are attending the service. We thank you because the work of the resurrection is not over. It's still going on. And we know that we'll still hear testimonies in this place. We'll hear testimonies of the things that you have done and that will manifest in our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power of resurrection in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Happy Easter to all of you.
Thank you. We are fed the power of resurrection, and we bless the Lord for his word. Praying that may God may continue equipping his servant, Dr. Abel, so you may be able to share the same word to us next time.